Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. TD, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, fellas.
It's good to have you on with us, my friend. TD, I'm sure you've heard by now and have discussed the Aaron Rodgers moving to Nashville saga that has taken over this area the last couple of days. That report obviously coming from Jared Stillman. And as he's pointed out, that does not mean that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. I guess I'm just curious from your vantage point on, you know, this whole situation with Aaron Rodgers and how involved you think the Titans should be in pursuing Aaron Rodgers should it become that he's available and that he wants out of Green Bay, which we still don't know the answer to that question as well.
Yeah, I think that's a dance that they have to, you know, do carefully, because obviously, you know, there's a lot with Ryan Tannehill as far as whether or not they're going to bring him back. John Robinson came out on one of the other shows and said that he has all intentions of bringing Tannehill back. He's their quarterback, and they feel that they can win with him. So I think that's really what it is. Now, obviously, you would always upgrade any position available, and a quarterback, if that's an opportunity to upgrade it, then you definitely have to look at it. But I don't think they have any intentions of it, and I think you have to look at the whole picture. I mean, okay, it's great that he is buying a house here or buying a land, you know, a piece of land. But there's so many other players. I mean, George Kittle lives here already during the off season, and we know that there's no interest there. So I don't really think that there's much to make of it. It's interesting to talk about, but you know, I don't think it's something that'll come to fruition.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's Rodgers at QB, Kittle at tight end, Bill Belichick at OC. And this team goes undefeated next year, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. Wait, did you say this to Jared TD? And did he did you when you said this to Jared, what was his reaction? Was he sad?
Well, I mean, he did say that it doesn't mean that he's coming. So
he did.
Yeah, but I think that's really, you have to look at it that way. It really doesn't. I mean, you know, like I said, so many athletes and people move here anyway, and there's a lot of other reasons, you know, whether it's political, financial, you know, as far as taxes, and this is a beautiful city, so why wouldn't you want to live near here?
That's right, we can all agree on that for sure. What TD, just the Tannehill, we're at the end of a second straight week of, you know, really just Tannehill hating around here, Tanna hating in Nashville, which again, like, I mean, hey, I think all of us were kind of in agreement in the wake of that game. I mean, I have a hard time putting it on anyone else but him and how he played. And yeah, I didn't like that he didn't talk at cleanout day. Jimmy G goes out.
Like,
yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of warranted criticism, but also, you know, maybe reality starting to settle in as well. Do you feel any, you know, I don't know, differently now than you did right after the game, or you know, just do you feel like the fan base, I guess, also kind of comes around on this as time goes on?
Well, you know, the thing I think about with him not talking at locker cleanout, I just wonder if there were meetings or if there was something that he had to do, because we didn't get the whole offense outside of AJ Brown. But, I mean, it was disappointing. I'll put it that way. As far as where the fans are, I don't think that it's going to take an awful lot for them to come back around on him, at least the ones who have abandoned him. And I'm not even going to say abandoned him. The ones who, you know, have formed the opinion that the team can't win with him. And I think, you know, for me, I'm basically at the same place, but I get what they're doing as far as like trying to improve around him. And the thing with Tannehill that's so tough, and I kind of came to this conclusion, you know, as I've been thinking about just what they should do, he does just enough to make you like, you know what, maybe it can work. if you look at games like the Chiefs game, the last two Chiefs games in the regular season, you look at games like the Texans game, you look at the ones like the 49ers game even, and he always does just enough to make you believe that there's a chance. You know, and I think when you look at those guys in the locker room, they truly believe it. You know, you look at Taylor Lewan coming out the way that he did. You listen to A.J. Brown anytime he's asked about him. Maybe Mike Vrabel didn't get the same endorsement, but one thing he did say is they have to play great around him. And I think that's what they're going to look to do, add some pieces, whether it's, you know, a slot receiver that's a more of a threat, a tight end that's a threat in the passing game more. I think that's what they're going to look to add, and they're going to run it back, it looks like.
Ron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And TD, we were talking earlier in the show about Carson Strong out of Nevada. I know he's a guy that you've taken a look at as well. But, you know, regardless of whether it's him or just the quarterback position in general, how likely do you think it is that the Titans may take a look at a quarterback this year in a draft?
Yeah, I think it's very likely. There was a report by Chrissy Floyd from the Draft Network that the Titans have talked to Carson Strong, but honestly, when you're down there at the Senior Bowl, guess what? You're talking to everybody. So yeah, you could take that, you know, for how you want to take it. But I think they'll definitely look at a quarterback. They have to. I mean, how could you not? Ryan Tannehill is, what, 34 years old? And after next year, there's a good possibility that they'll be getting out of his contract. Not sure. I have to see how that works. But I think that's where a guy like Desmond Ridder comes into play. Malik Willis, he's not going to be available, in my opinion. I think he's going to go probably one of the first guys to go, you know, whether it's Willis, Pickett, or Corral. I think it's going to be Willis. But Desmond Ridder, to me, is the guy that will be around when they're looking to pick, especially if they can manufacture a second-round pick, you know, by trading back. He would be a really good option, in my opinion. You know, he's really good play action. He's a guy you want to get on the move, you know, roll out and do those type of things. He can push the ball down the field. Placement is decent. You know, he played in you know, a big game there for Cincinnati. Obviously, they didn't win that. But and on top of that, he said that, you know, Ryan Tannehill is one of the guys that he models his game after in a certain aspect. So there's a lot to you know, look at there. I think he would be a fit, and you bring him in and just have him, you know, be your backup and just kind of develop, and then you could unleash him the second year, you know, 2023. And I think that's a good kind of pattern to go for, because it's, again, very possible that they move on from Tannehill in not this upcoming season, but the following one.
Yeah, it's really interesting because you do that, and now being great around him next year becomes harder because you could be getting a tight end or a receiver or whatever, offensive lineman, to be better around him. So to me, it's like you gotta love whoever that QB in question is, and really think not just that like this could be a backup developmental project, but like this could be the guy, you know, long term, right? I mean, you gotta have strong conviction of whoever that QB is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you do. And I mean, the other thing is, you know, even if they do just think, you know, it's a good prospect, they may not love him and think, you know, he's going to be, you know, able to come in and pick up like Patrick Mahomes did his second year. I still think it would be wise to do that, because if you get a guy in the second round, his salary is not going to be too high. And if things, you know, work out with Tannehill to the point where you want to keep him around, you just keep him around in 2023. Look at what the 49ers did with Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And I think that's something to look at, honestly. And it's something that I would do. They need to get a young quarterback in there.
TD, last thing for you, the tight end position. We've spent so much time in the last couple of weeks talking about that and, you know, what the Titans need to do there moving forward. I'm just curious, from your vantage point with Tannehill at quarterback, how important is that position for the Titans to address? And I guess how much would you be willing to invest in that position if you're John Robinson, knowing that the production there, at least offensively in the passing game, it just really wasn't much last year from the tight ends?
Yeah, not a single target to a tight end in that final game against the Bengals. So I think the position is very important. And you look at Tannehill, you know, he's formed close bonds with a couple of the tight ends, right? You look at Firkser and Jonnu Smith going through last season. Those were guys that he really went to. Well, not last season, but, you know, 2 seasons ago. And then even this past season, Jeff Swaim had a career high. Was it 35 catches? So he clearly will go to the tight ends, and I think bringing in a playmaking tight end, a guy that you could move around and do things to make you go back to kind of like that creativity that Arthur Smith did with Jonnu Smith would be an ideal situation. And that's why I think a guy like David Njoku would be a good fit. I think he's someone they should absolutely look at, and he's an athletic tight end. Now, I don't know, you know, what the Browns are going to do as far as like trying to retain him, but he's someone I think they should absolutely take a look at. And there's some guys in the draft. You know, Isaiah Likely is a pretty interesting player. I'm going to struggle to say his name, but Chigo Akwunu from Maryland is another one. And nice. Virginia has a tight end as well. So there's different guys that you could get in the draft, very athletic guys that can move around. So.
Yeah, going to be fascinating. TD, it's that time of year. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Hope you have a good weekend, and we'll talk a little Super Bowl with you next week as well. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. You have a good one.
Absolutely. You as well. Teron Davenport, our guest here every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what TD had to say there. And I've got a Jared Stillman text for Joe Rexroad as well on the other side. We'll get to all that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Terry Crisp, Preds TV analyst, coming up here in about 13 minutes or so, coming up at 8:30. Looking forward to getting Crispy's thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Thanks to TD for joining us in the last segment. So, Rexroad, I have a text for you from our good friend Jared Stillman.
Well, he's too afraid to send it to me.
I'm just saying, I've got one for you. It says, here's my real question for Joe. If he was John Robinson and A.B. Adam Strunk gave him the option to move off of Tannehill and or Rodgers, would he? And what would he be willing to give up to get Rodgers? Because it's easy to say, can't do it, but where there's a will, there's a way. This is coming from Jared Stillman. So wanting to know, if Amy Adams Strunk gave you, as Joe Rexroad impersonating John Robinson, the option to move off Tannehill and pursue Aaron Rodgers, would you do it? And what would you be willing to give up in order to get it done?
This question that Jared had to send to you to read to me. Okay. You got my number, Jared. I mean, he sends me wacky texts all the time.
Joe, did you block him? Did you block Jared?
Maybe I did. Jared, did you try to text me? Did I? I'm sure it was a mistake if I blocked you, Jared. By the way, I've been blocked by my own kids.
That is iconic. I love that. Sorry, Joe.
Iconic is one word for it. Yeah, we're like, you call and immediately like one ring and you can't. It's like, dude, I'm your dad. We pay for your phone. But anyway, I know they're not listening because they have a snow day. Yes, my answer is, would I pursue it? Sure, of course. Absolutely. Now, am I pursuing it blindly and I don't care what it takes and I'm going to throw everything I can to make the switch? No, but am I going to pursue it? Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that's much of a question, is it? What am I missing here? Do you think that's some huge dilemma? I don't think it is. The probably not going to happen is when we get into the nitty-gritty of how you make this work. I have a hard time finding it.
Well, what are you willing to give up? That's what he's wanting to know.
Well, again, I don't. Well, there's that, but then there's also how are you unloading Tannehill?
Right. Like Green Bay is not taking Ryan Tannehill. I'm just here to tell you. I mean, I guess they could if you offer him 7 first round picks and Jeffrey Simmons and AJ Brown, but they're not taking Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I've said it 100 times. There are two options, a starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers next year. Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Those are your two options. So I don't know why Green Bay would want Ryan Tannehill. You're going to give $38 million to your backup? I doubt it.
Right. I mean, you're running it back, which is, I think, what's going to happen. Or you are, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but that just that would be the odds-on favorite scenario to me. Actually, I'm sure there are odds on this. So if anybody knows what they are, let me know. Or you are going to take advantage of the fact that even though things haven't looked especially impressive so far or promising, you have a young quarterback you drafted in the first round on a rookie deal, and now it's rebuild time slash, I don't know, I guess maybe they could be in a, what, competitive rebuild? Could we call it that?
I mean, yeah, you might still be able to win the North. Who knows?
That's right. I mean, you had a decent chance there in that division.
I would say so. To me, this is kind of a step-by-step. Like, if it gets to the point where Aaron Rodgers is available, then yes, like John Robinson, you make the call. Like, if it comes out, honestly, if it comes out that Aaron Rodgers is available and John Robinson never did anything, I'd be irate if I was a Titans fan about that. You try everything you can do to just see if it's possible to get Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to be here, all those things. If it plays out the way that, you know, J-Rob's kind of making it seem right now, and that is Ryan Tannehill's our quarterback, no questions asked. That would be what upsets me if I'm a Titans fan. But really, Aaron Rodgers was out there. You didn't make a call? Are you kidding me? Which I don't know. I don't know that I believe that would happen with John
Robinson. I don't believe it would either. For every deal made in this league, there are 10,000 phone calls. I mean, that doesn't make sense at all. That would be just neglecting to do your job. I don't care what you said about Tannehill. You have to look into it. He would/will. But again, it's, you know, you show me the reason that I'm at 98.5 and you're at 98.3 on Tannehill is I don't see how it works.
I guess, I mean, the other part of this is you could find a team to take on Tannehill's contract. I guess a team out there that does not have an elite quarterback, that Tannehill would be an upgrade at the quarterback position, and they don't mind paying Tannehill, you know, a $38 million cap hit next year. I mean, I guess that could be out there, and you could go kind of the three-team route with this. But then my question is, you know, what team is that? You know, a lot of people have thrown out Tampa Bay. Like, does Tampa Bay want Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's worth a phone call if you get down the road to this situation, and the other side of it is Aaron Rodgers for the Titans. I'd call every team in the league. Like, hey, you want Ryan Tannehill? He's available.
Sure. I don't know everybody's cap situation off the top of my head, but it would take a pretty good one. It would take a team that, you know, how many teams are going to look at it like, okay, you bring him in, you know, quarterback's the issue. You bring him in, we can pay him. And he can at least, I mean, there's plenty of teams that would love to be playoff teams that are bad, right? Sure. That's what you need. Like Tampa Bay seems like cap hell is a reality for that club.
But you did just get Brady off the books.
Yeah, but there's a lot. I mean, they did. I still don't. I mean, they're like Kansas City. It's like, now it's all there. You can go look at the cap hits and add it all up and it works, but I got to think that they've got some trouble coming. Maybe it could work with them too. You know, a team like does a team like Carolina think it's good enough that if you got, I mean, they've had terrible quarterback play and they've tried several guys here recently. Are they a team that believes that a Tannehill could make all the difference? I mean, I have my doubts, but I mean, there's one possibility. Would a team like Washington, I mean, Tannehill would be a pretty market upgrade over Heinicke. Yeah, we all Commanders. Agree on that.
Yeah.
The command. Yes. Yes. Would the Commanders be interested in Tannehill? Maybe. That's one of the teams I'd look at. Like they do have some good pieces. They've got some good elements. They went 7-10 this year. So that's what it would take, you know, a team to be willing to take on that number, you know, because that number is that's a hefty number. And of course it's a bigger number because of Julio Jones this year.
Our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. David in Nolansville texting in says, I don't think we'll hear anything from Rodgers for a while. The one thing that has set him off over the last few years is the lack of draft capital used on the offensive side of the ball. My call shot is that he leaves Green Bay hanging until after the draft. This is coming from David in Nolensville. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to know something here in the next couple of weeks, would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I
mean, he basically said as much.
Yeah. Yeah. On playing or not. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it'd be pretty shocking, wouldn't it? I mean, honestly, would it be pretty shocking if he's like, you know what? I am going to be on that stage with Tom Brady in Canton, and I'm going to steal the show, everybody. This is going to be about Aaron Rodgers that night in Canton in 2027, not Tom Brady.
Going to be Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Aaron Rodgers all together on the same stage. It's going to be great.
That's right. Roethlisberger does get to have that to be the second fiddle to Brady. Sorry, Michelle.
I think when Brady retired, that might guarantee that Rodgers doesn't. I think, you know, Matt Steinman put this out there, and we'll have him on the show at 9:30. He's like, you really think Rodgers wants to share the stage in Canton with Tom Brady? He's playing. Yeah. So that decision to me has already been made.
Right. But he can make it official. And I don't know. Maybe he, I mean, look, I want to hear from Rodgers. I want to hear, you know, who he's open to playing for and what he thinks about. He can talk about that stuff. Other people can't tamper with him, but he can talk about that stuff.
That's right.
And he's been pretty forthcoming on some things, especially if he gets going with McAfee there, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So can they have an emergency, emergency situation, bring him on?
I think there's a chance that might happen in the next couple of weeks. We'll just have to wait and see. When we come back, we'll be joined by the great Terry Crisp, Preds TV analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Friday morning at 8:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in the great Preds TV analyst, Terry Crisp, brought to you by Copper Branch. Eat, think, change. Crispy, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing my my Canadian imitation when I was being raised in Canada. I got my skates on, skating up and down my cul-de-sac here.
Yeah, I'm the only guy. Nice.
I got a hat trick already.
About to say, this is kind of a throwback for you with the weather we're getting today. This, this makes you feel good, doesn't it, Crispy?
You know what? That's it. I get that one all the time. Oh, you're from Canada. Well, you're used to this. You know how to. No, no. I left it 40 years ago, guys. I don't want to
now. That's right. We've had our fair share of it as of late. I'm ready for it to go away. I don't think there's any question about that. So, Crispy, obviously the All-Star break has come, and the Predators get a big win on Tuesday night against Vancouver to head into the break happy. Now that we're over halfway through the season, we're at the All-Star break, and we know there's going to be a lot of games coming quickly on the other side of it. What's kind of your overall view, your 30,000-foot view of this team halfway through the season?
You know what? I'm impressed now. I'm really, really looking forward to the last round. Like, we're coming to a three-quarter pole, and we all know in the horse racing, if you're at the three-quarter pole, you better be in a position to make a move unless you're Seabiscuit or whoever. And then down the stretch you come. So now it starts to heat up. Now you start to watch the out-of-town games. Now you start to watch who's creeping up, who's making up those games in hand, which you look at and you say, oh, man, how many? And then you're hoping, well, here's another one. Hope they lose it. Hope they lose it. Hope they lose it. So it's one of those things where you keep your team focused and don't look behind you because somebody might be gaining, so look ahead.
Seemed like John Hines was pretty happy, Crispy, with the effort and the win over Vancouver. And it is really interesting when you think about, one, the just kind of strange break there before that game. You know, no games on the weekend, of course, now you have. And knowing that you have a long break, knowing all the players know, okay, the All-Star break's coming. You're going to have a few days of downtime. I got to think that's – as a coach, probably a game you look at and have some concern, right? Because of the break before and the break you know is coming after.
Oh, yeah, automatic. Anything around Christmas time, the same thing goes through a coach's mind. Oh, boy, how do we keep them focused? The same as the All-Star game and whatever. And the thing is, I think the coaches say it, but it has to come from the players saying, okay, guys, we got 4 or 5 days off. Let's enjoy them. Let's be smart about these 4 or 5 days because we got to come right back into the fire again, and we better be firing in all 8 cylinders. So, yeah, let's go with our families, have some fun, enjoy it, but let's damn well be prepared to play some sound hockey coming down because the division we're in, it's not going to be a walk in the park.
Well, Crispy, and to that point, you know, obviously there's a long way to go now before you could start talking playoff hockey here with the Predators. But I got, my question for you is, from your vantage point and the way this team plays the game and the style that they bring to the table on a nightly basis, do you think maybe that this team is more equipped for playoff-style hockey than they have been in, I don't know, at least the last 4 or 5 years?
Definitely, yes. I look back over some of the playoff series we had, especially against Dallas, when they ran over top of us and laughed at us, and that still sticks in my craw. And I still remember some of the scenes of Jamie Benn and a few of those guys laughing on the bench, and nothing irritates me as a coach when I look over and see teams on the other side laughing on their bench. And there'd be I remember that forever and do not forget it. So, yeah. And you know what? This team now, we got, they back each other up. Like, Benning jumps in there. Cunning jumps in there. A couple of the other ones, they all jump in. The whole team, I hear that expression, they say, well, I got your back. I got your back. Well, that's a nice phrase. That sounds really good. Like, you know, you go out on a street and get into a street fight, and your buddy says, I got your back. Yeah, because you see his back 100 yards away running. And that's really bad. He's got it. Yeah. Suddenly you're surrounded and nowhere to go. These guys are there, and that's what I like. In the scrums, I count the jerseys, and I immediately count the jerseys. And if I see 3 of the opposition jerseys in the scrum, I better see 3 or 4 of our jerseys in that scrum, or I want to know why not when it happens. I see that with this team. These guys, and you know what? I think around the league now, the other teams realize that, hey, these guys got some guys. And you know what? When you put guys in like McCarron and Myers and Harper when they play with us, they're big boys. They're big bodies. They can do things. And then you always have the herd line that always stirs it up. And now you've got your guns. You got Forsberg and Brandon and Duchesne hitting stride. That's the one area coming down the stretch run. We can have everything in place. I mean, we've got Saros. That's our anchor. Let's be honest with that. Saros is the anchor of this team. Now, we have to make sure that we stay stride and the guns, the cannons, keep firing for us.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question, Crispy, from any aspect of that, just the overall physicality of the team, bigger players replacing some smaller guys who are not here. And like you said, just the willingness to mix it up is so different now. How much, when you take that to the postseason, because obviously you go to the postseason and people, you know, are trying to avoid getting in any kind of a fight, you know, because of the ramifications, but how much does that carry over? Is it the physicality itself? I mean, do you feel like that makes you more suited for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Like hell, you better not be afraid to have a fight. Because if you do, that old adage about, well, let's turn the other cheek and be smart. No, you know what they do? They slap the cheek you turn towards them. So now you get slapped in both cheeks by turning. So you're not going to win. No, I still maintain you got to be smart about it. You got to know when. But you know there's a time. And let's just say somebody comes out and runs Yossi 2 shifts in a row, just nails him. If I'm a coach standing behind that bench, I'm glaring daggers at my bench, and I'm looking at myself and say, okay, which one of these guys is going to go out and grab that guy, win, lose, or draw? Let them know this ain't going to happen to Yossi or Forsberg or Arvey, whoever they used to run. That ain't going to happen, boys.
Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Crispy joins us every week here on the program at 8:30. Crispy, speaking of Yossi, I mean, obviously he's now in the All-Star game. I thought it was a crime he wasn't in the All-Star game to begin with. I'm glad that that's been rectified at this point. But just looking at the way that he's played this year, I mean, the offensive numbers stand out, and he's at a point per game right now, which is just insane by a defenseman. I'm curious from your vantage point defensively. What have you made of his season defensively, and is this some of the best hockey that you've seen him play on that side of the puck? I mean, the offensive numbers are one thing. I think we all know he can do that. But defensively, what have you thought of his game this year?
You know what? Jost is one of those guys. He can lead a rush. He's got the skating ability. He'll lead the rush, make it happen, and get back down ice again to defend. The only thing I look at coming down here is, and I used to say this too, now the only guy you would give permission to would be Bobby Orr or Brad Park or maybe Jost, the green light to go. But when you hit playoffs or coming down the stretch run for playoffs, you start to dwell on smart defense. Let's worry about inside our blue line, not 150 feet away. Let's concentrate on, let's don't worry who gets the points down ice. They'll come from the forwards. And you know what? I listened to that kid, Tennyson. We brought in for a game or two. And I liked his that. You know what he said? My job here is to come here, play simple, tough defense, and get the puck up to the forwards and let them do their job. I thought, you know what? This kid's been coached properly. He's got his head on. That's what I look at in playoffs and coming down the stretch run. You can't be a lone ranger. You can't go through every team now, especially when you're noted. Everybody knows Josi. Everybody knows Ecky. Everybody knows Fabregas that they're trying to get Carrier. They're going to try and come through that neutral zone with the puck. What do you think other teams are going to do? They don't want the puck. They want the body, and they're going to play it hard.
Like Crispy's really fired up today, and I'm here for it. Crispy, give me one player you want to see take a step, take a leap, take a jump here after the break for the Preds.
They're all doing their job. I love it. You know who I like, and he's quiet. He does it. I know he gets his thing, but I like what Sissons does. He quietly gets the job done. I know Trennan and Janot and those guys. But Sissons is in there like a cunning. He just drives you crazy, but he's every shift. You know he's going to be out there bugging you on you. We know what the other guys are going to do and have to do, but if Sissons makes it one step more and starts to score to add on to that line, that'll be top-notch for us.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Terry Criss, Preds TV analyst, joins us every Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road at 8:30. Crispy, great stuff as always. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you a little bit later next week when Preds hockey fires back up.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you very much. And after the break, we'll see you all at the rinks. Stay healthy, stay safe.
Absolutely. The great Terry Criss, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Copper Branch. Eat, think, change. Crispy was... he was on one today, Rex Road. I love it. Fired up.
I think actually he has been out checking people in the cul-de-sac, right?
I think he has been too. The I got your back line of you turn around and all you see is his back 100 yards away. I had not heard that one before, and that one about got me. I almost didn't recover from that one. That was a good one.
You know, smack one cheek, smack the other cheek. I mean, not messing around today.
Josh on the text line says, I could listen to Crispy all day. You're not alone there. I could listen to Crispy all day.
I think we all could, too.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Crispy had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Shane Foster, Vanderbilt men's basketball legend, coming up at 9 o'clock. He's getting his jersey retired tomorrow at Memorial Gym as the Commodores take on the LSU Tigers. So looking forward to that conversation coming up in about 15 minutes with Shane Foster. We'll have Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, who covers the Green Bay Packers, join us at 9:30, get his thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation as well. So lots still to come here today on the program. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Going back to the Tannehill discussion, I got a texter that says, absolutely no team in the league will take Tannehill and that expensive contract. No team in the league. will take Tannehill and that expensive contract. Joe Rexler, do you buy that? That there's not a team out there, as much as the Titans, if Aaron Rodgers is available or Russell Wilson is available, as much as the Titans may want to pursue that, maybe there's not a team that would take the Ryan Tannehill contract. Do you buy that?
Well, I'm struggling to find one that I feel good about taking him. You know, zero chance? No, it's not zero chance. But I think it's a little bit of a leap to think that there's a team that thinks enough about him that this team thinks it is worth making that deal to get him, and that he will transform them. I'm all ears. Actually, I mean, I don't know. Again, I have not heard all of Jared's detailed plan on this, but I look to Jared. We've talked to Jared about the Russell Wilson thing and some of the Aaron Rodgers specific things. But what about that? Like, who takes Tannehill? I want to hear you. Jared, let me know. You text Robbie so he can tell me what you think.
Jim on the text line says potential teams for Tannehill would need a good running back for play action. Would the Browns or Saints be players for that? I can tell you the Saints are not. The Saints are $75 million in the hole right now in terms of the salary cap. So they're not taking Ryan Tannehill's contract.
The Browns, and neither are the Browns. I mean, the Browns are, look, they may end up moving on from Baker Mayfield, but, you know, if you're the Browns, you look at Tannehill, and I think they're in the same tier, right? Except yeah. One of them is a lot more expensive than the other. So, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, it doesn't – I don't know that I buy that it necessarily has to be a team that is – you know, got some great running game that takes him either. Like, you know, could Tampa Bay, like right now, if you're the Tampa Bay Bucks, what are your options at quarterback? You just had Tom Brady retire. Obviously, your roster is going to have to be reshaped and reevaluated, and there's not going to be anybody picking the Tampa Bay Bucks to win the Super Bowl next year now that Tom Brady has walked out the door. So maybe you're just in a different spot with that franchise, and hey, it was your time. You went for it. You got a Super Bowl out of it. You got 2 years of really good football from Tom Brady, and now it's time for a little bit of a reset. So, look, I don't know. I mean, they just drafted Kyle Trask. Are they going to hand the reins over to him? Are they going to see what they have in him? I have no idea what's going to happen there. But, like, right now, if you're Tampa Bay and you look around your division and you say, all right, well, Sean Payton just left the Saints. The Panthers don't have a quarterback, and the Falcons aren't very good. I mean, you're still right there. I mean, your roster is still good enough to win in that division if you're Tampa Bay. Would you rather have a Kyle Trask or a Jimmy G, or would you rather have Ryan Tannehill? Like, there's a lot of talk right now about, you know, Jimmy G going to Tampa Bay and that being the place that he ends up, which maybe it will be. I don't know. If you're the Bucks, would you rather have Jimmy G or Tampa Bay or Ryan Tannehill?
I don't know. I mean, I would say before this season, I would say certainly Ryan Tannehill. But I mean, just like Ryan Tannehill, you know, has hurt himself probably in the way he's viewed. Well, certainly in Nashville by Titans fans, probably within his organization, because when you play like that in the biggest moments, I'm sorry, but like people are going to notice and they're going to have growing concerns. But he, you know, around the league too. I mean, there was already a lot of skepticism, which we did a lot of debunking of for a couple of years. But now, I don't know. I think there's a real chance that the Bucs or other teams would look more favorably on Jimmy G than Ryan T.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine send me stats yesterday between Jimmy G and Tannehill. Jimmy G's thrown for a lot more yards. He's thrown for more touchdowns. He's also thrown for more interceptions as well. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But, you know, it's not like there's a huge difference between the two is the point. A lot of those stats are pretty similar. Sean on the text line says, please no 1 or 2 year deals on quarterbacks. I want a dynasty. I want to be competitive with a well-built team, not going all in every couple years on players that don't pan out. I'm all for Rodgers if he can be here for at least 4 years. All right.
So now you better have 4 years. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, look at this league. So if you were a Rams fan right now, would you be upset because it's a 1 year? You know, I mean, that Stafford won't be there after this, but like, would you be upset if you're a Bucs fan who just got a Super Bowl because you got Brady for 2 years?
Let's go back to the Tampa Bay example. If you told Titans fans right now, you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, and it's going to play out the exact way it did with Brady, where he's going to be here for 2 years. You'll win one Super Bowl. You'll lose the next year, and then he retires. is there a single Titans fan that wouldn't take that? I don't know of one.
I mean, everybody would love a dynasty, but start with a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, see if you can do that. I mean, the Chiefs have an incredible generational talent at quarterback, and we'll see how many rings he ends up with, but he's got one right now.
I mean, I would, you know, Aaron Rodgers is probably not going to be playing football 4 years from now. I mean, if he's already seriously considering retirement, which it looks like he is, I don't know why 4 years from now he would be like, yep, I really love playing football right now. Like, you're probably looking at a 1 or 2 year window if you get Aaron Rodgers, and then he's probably going to move on and do something else. And I don't know that, but it just kind of feels like that's what's going on. Sean texts back in and says, yes, it feels like a bought championship. Who cares?
Great.
Are you? Yeah. What championship in sports has not been a bought championship? You get paid. It's a salary cap. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, look,
that's one of the dumber things I've ever heard.
Well, look, I get the idea of I want the drafted QB and grow with that QB, and that's great. Everybody wants that. But, yeah, I mean, even those teams, I promise you, there are some major free agent acquisitions along the way and probably short window contracts with players who are a huge part of winning championships. It's pro sports, man.
Yanks Bucks fans are walking around right now saying, oh, that Super Bowl doesn't count. There's a bought championship. We got Tom Brady in here. Like, what does that even mean?
Now, if it had been done with Steve DeBerg, I hope anybody out there gets my Steve DeBerg reference.
Yeah. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brock from Murfreesboro, who wants to weigh in. Brock, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was just curious. I see teams doing this a lot, but how many bad years after makes it worth it, you know? But, like, if Tampa Bay has 7 bad years next, are they still going to be happy with that one Super Bowl pushing everything in? I'll hang up and wait for your response.
Yes. Yes. If you're a Titans – look, if you're a Titans fan, you've never won a Super Bowl before. I don't care if you lose and suck for 20 years in a row. Win a Super Bowl. That's why you play the game.
Now, look, somebody you know, in charge of the business model may be like, ooh, 20 years, that's going to be a lot of, you know, lean years financially. But absolutely, as a fan, I seriously need to hear from people. You would rather have a bunch of 10-7. I hate that I have to go in these 17-game examples now. You know, 10-7 type years and be solid and be competitive and never go terrible, or you'd rather have that than like winning it all and then paying for it? Because the reality is, whether you cycle all the way up to a Super Bowl or not, you're going to cycle down in this league. It's just it's just how it is. Now, granted, you got some organizations like the Steelers who have been able to be pretty darn consistent, but they've also won Super Bowls in there too, by the way. So it's, you know, if they had been this like consistent, they're always solid and always competitive and it never won a Super Bowl, it'd be a totally different story for them too. So yes, I don't see how any fan is choosing nah, I'd just rather be pretty good for a long time.
It's mind-boggling to me that we're even having this conversation. If the Titans went all in and they won a Super Bowl next year and they sucked 3 years from now, nobody cares. You won a Super Bowl. That's why you play the game. It's just, I cannot even believe that we're talking about this. When we come back, we'll be joined by Shane Foster, Vanderbilt men's basketball legend. He's getting his jersey retired coming up tomorrow at Memorial Gym against LSU, one of the greatest players in Vanderbilt history. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.